What a great song that is. I started leading songs at 12 years old, and this was my dad's favorite song. And he lived this song, and every time I think of it, I can think all the way back to my boyhood days after my folks left the Catholic Church and became Christians, and this song was one of his favorites, and it brings back so many good memories of living at home and being with Mom and Dad. So every time I sing this song, I think of that. I thank Bronson and church here for giving me the opportunity to speak to you again. I always enjoy doing it because, like I always say, I think I maybe get more out of preparing a lesson than the way I can convey it to you. This morning, as a basis for our lesson, I want to turn to Colossians 3. And I got to tell you, when I first started this, we were going down through verse 17. But when I realized how much was in those verses, we're only going to go down through verse 9. I think I could probably bring four or five lessons just out of the verse 9 verses. So we're going to read down through verse 9, and maybe at another time I can continue down through 17. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. But now ye put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now you can see just how much is in there. So we'll take up down through 17 at another time. But the title of my lesson is Where We Should Seek Christ. And as I ask that question, just ask yourself, you know, how are we risen with Christ, as it says here in verse 1? Where are we seeking, or what are we seeking above, and what are we dead to? Well, if you go back to verse 1, be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Well, how are we dead in Christ? And if you turn over to, and I'm going to be referring to a lot of scriptures, so if you don't have time to turn to all of them, maybe you can just write them down as we go. They're not long readings, but I do have several scriptures. So, how are we dead to Christ? Turn over to Romans 6, verse 6. Romans 6, verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. So we are dead to sin. When we give up the old man, when we do away with the kind of lifestyle that we had, when we become Christians, when we are buried with Christ in baptism, that's the same connotation. Just as Christ was buried, so are we burying our old man or the old way of life. You know, that term, old man, growing up as a kid, I was always told, never call your dad old man. I mean, I had respect for my dad, and he did tell me that. You never call anybody's father or anyone, hey, old man, how you doing? No. What's it talking about here, the old man? Well, it may not be the same, but still out of respect. The old man is the old man of sin, Satan. So we're to give that up. We're to die just as Christ died for us, for all mankind, to overcome sin and overcome eternal death or eternal damnation in the last day. So that's why we are risen with Christ. And what did Christ do? He rose. And what changed in him? Not a thing. He was the same perfect being then as he was prior to his death. But we, when we die to sin, we're changed, or we should be changed, and live no longer in sin, but in accordance with the will of God. And what are we seeking above? He says here, seek those things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Well, when you think of things above, what do you think of? Well, heaven. We don't know where heaven is. For some reason, we always have the connotation that heaven is above, because we knew that when Christ was transfigured, he arose and ascended into heaven. Whereas we know hell, eternal damnation, is below. And that's just what we've always come to know. So setting your affections on things above is to know that Christ is above, and that's where our thought process, that's where our lives should be. Also in Romans, same chapter, instead of verse 6, let's read verses 1 through 5. What then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So if we're going to do away with sin in our lives, we know we can't live that way. We can't continue that way. Know ye not that many of us that were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We talked a little bit about that this morning. As a body, if we're one, then we all have the same thought process. We know what is expected of us. You know, when you plant a plant, and it's going to need support. Well, what does it need? Well, it needs sun, needs water, needs you to go out and hoe around it and get rid of the weeds so that doesn't take all the nutrients from the plant. So it needs attention. Well, just the same as us. If we're going to be planted and rooted in salvation, what do we need? We need the Word. We need to understand the Word. We need support from members. And that's going to keep us strong, and it's going to keep us growing as a plant, or as a vehicle of Christ. What are we dead to? We mentioned that. We're dead to sin. You can't hold on to something and live another type of life. If you're giving up sin, now granted, we can go back into sin. And we sin daily. Most of the times, not willfully. There's things we do that we really don't intend to do, although it's sin. But it's saying you're giving up that old man, that old way of life. Remember I talked about earlier about the one living a reprobate life that doesn't know anything to do but sin and commit atrocities? Well, we're separate and apart from that. So we're dead to sin, living through our learning and through teaching, we're living the life that Christ wants us to live. Because why? We're seeking those things above. And the things above should be our hope of that reward with him. And it talks about glory. When you talk about glory in certain ways, I got to relate a story to you. And it always stuck with me when I hear this word. I don't know how old I was, 12, 13 years old, playing Babe Ruth baseball. And this team we were playing, unbeaten. No, nobody could beat this team. I mean, they were just far superior to any other team. We played them this one game. And not only did I get the bat twice in one inning, the second time up, I hit a grand slam. And we beat this team bad. Well, the papers, our little hometown paper, wrote this up, you know, Blue Merchants or whatever we were, beat Titanium. And Dave Harvillack, you know, had two hits in one inning, hit a grand slam, and he's in his glory. Well, my mom didn't like that. My dad didn't say much, but my mom, being as faithful she was, you know, she tried to denounce, you know, you shouldn't be glorying in anything. She was such a devout Christian. And I know the papers or anybody else didn't take it that way. But, you know, we should only glory today in one thing, that we have Christ on our side and that we have that hope of eternal life. But here, he talks about glory, and in verse 4, when Christ, who shall appear, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. Well, that kind of glory and being on his side is what we want. If you turn over to John 11. And verse 25, it reads, Jesus said unto her, this was talking to Martha, said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So that's what we should strive for. Live for Christ. That should be our glory. Turn over a few more chapters. John 14, and verse 6 reads, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So you've given up that old man of sin. You're looking for the glory to be Christ-like. And what is that avenue? To come to Christ. Come to the Father through Christ. Also, 1 John. Chapter 3. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. You know, we're told in the scriptures that there are going to be people on the day of judgment. They're going to cry for and shout for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Because they know what their eternal doom is going to be. Versus those who love the Lord and have lived according to his will. Those people are going to know what's in store for them. And that's why he said they will tremble and ask and cry for the rocks to fall on them. So that's our glory. That's our hope. That's what we're looking forward to. And if we have that glory and we seek things which are above, that's going to be our life and that's going to be what we stand for. Also, if you go back to John, the 17th chapter. It's a little longer reading. John 17, beginning verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Well, is that truth above? Is that seeking things which are above? Yes. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. Talking about his apostles and disciples. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through the word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they might be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So this is what he's telling his apostles. You know, he's saying here that without Christ, what are we? And yet, look how happy and look how content and how satisfied you are that you are in the glory of God and walking in His way. And one last one, Philippians 1, Philippians 1, verses 20 to 22. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, wherein for life to be, or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I want not. We talked about that a little this morning too. If you live in the flesh and live to the flesh, you're going to die to the flesh. But he's so thankful, and he knows the glory that he's going to have in the Savior in verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. A couple of weeks ago or so, Bronson even mentioned, have you ever wanted the world to just end and for this life just to be over with everything that's happening? Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're in a covenant relationship with God, nothing else matters. Nothing at all. So that's what we should be glorying in too. That hope and that life of eternal salvation. Okay, those that live contrary to the will of God. Let's go back to Colossians here. There's consequences for that, just as we talked a little bit about that. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. We're all going to have a reward. You know, nowadays when they have things, you know, things have changed quite a bit, and everybody gets a trophy. Well, back in the day, when you had teams that won something or a spelling bee or whatever the case may be, the best received a reward. You ran a race, you received a reward. And, of course, if you didn't, well, you know, you were, I'm sure, disappointed. Well, the race that we're running is a lot more serious than that. And the consequences isn't just being downhearted and losing. It's losing, but it's losing eternal life. Let's go back to Romans, first chapter, and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Well, what's he saying back here in Colossians, these couple verses in verse 5? You're supposed to take care of things so you won't give in to fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, covetousness. And then, of course, he goes down a little farther and he continues. Verse 8. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications. Well, what is all that? That is sin in your life. And these are the things Paul's telling them here, that they have to cast off this old man, this old life, and do away with these things. But again, the consequences of sin is also given in Ephesians 5th chapter, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. We talked about that this morning too. You know, you get some charismatic person trying to sway you. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You got a choice. Live towards those things which are above or things on the earth. And then over in Revelation, last chapter there, verse 22 and verse 15 states, for without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Again, there's those people that they know no other way other than living a life of sin, a life of destruction. And he goes on and tells them the consequences of that. Okay, so let's look real quick at verses 8 and 9. And I want to do a little comparison here of verses 8 and 9 and compare that with verse 5. Let's read verse 5 first. Again, mortify therefore your members which are in the earth. And we talked about them. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. In verse 8 he says, put off those things and put off these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. What do you notice about verse 5 compared to verses 8 and 9? Well, verse 5 are things and sins that we commit that benefit ourselves. Anyone committing those things, it's against them. Well, I say benefiting, but it's against themselves or pleasure for themselves. You're not doing that against someone else. Verses 8 and 9, do you get angry with yourself? No, you get angry with someone else or against someone else. Do you hold ill feelings and wrath against yourself? No, that's done to someone else. Do you have malice or bad feelings about someone? No. Blaspheme? Can't blaspheme against yourself. Filthy communications out of your mouth? Who's that normally directed at? Usually someone else. And then lying one to another. So I just want to point out the difference here of those kind of sins that are committed against other people by an individual versus things you do in your own individual private life. But yet at the same time, we're supposed to put off all these things. But putting off the things in verse 5 may be known only to you versus the things in verses 8 and 9, you're committing that sin against someone else. I mean, how do you feel when you know someone lies to you? When you have kids living at home, and some still do, you know, that didn't hold much favor when you knew your child was lying about something. So I just want to point out that these are all sins, but yet there are sins that can really be detrimental to friends, you know, relatives, or whatever the case may be, versus the sins in verse 5. So let's turn over, with that in mind, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4, verse 22, and then verse 29. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Again, talking about the old man putting off these sins. And let's drop down to 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Well, what's it take? What does it mean to edify? What's to build up? Well, if you have spewings coming out of your mouth that shouldn't be, is that building anyone up? I mean, I'm sure you've had it done to you, whether it's from a boss or from somewhere else. You know how that makes you feel. And that shouldn't be a part of anyone who's seeking those things above. Hebrews 12, verse 1. And verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And what's weight? Anything that's in our lives that really weighs us down. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. So we're going to put those things aside. Why? Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So if you're going to run this race, you want that reward. Well, how are you going to get the reward that you want? Looking to those things above, then you have to lay aside sin. I like that part about laying aside every weight. There's a lot of things in our lives that are not sin, but things in our life that discourage us from doing good. And it could be different in everyone's own mind and in everyone's lives. You know, there could be things in your life that just overtake you. So what do? You lose confidence. You lose trust in the Lord, as we talked earlier. And there are people out there, when things happen to them, as I mentioned earlier, that they want to know, why this happened to me? Rather than turning to God, they turn away from God because some weight or something happening in their lives. Well, that's not going to earn you that reward, that when you look above and see what that reward is. Also, 1 Peter. Chapter 2. And verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies and envy, and all evil speaking. And let's go to verse 2. As newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word. And we talked about that this morning too. But in order to have the desire for the sincere milk of the word, you can't have malice, guile, hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings in your life. So this is part of the old man. In order to have the covenant relationship with God, you need, those are the things you need to put off. Okay, and then why not lie one to another? And we talked a little bit about that. But to me, that was, and being in the line of work I was in, I'd go into some interviews and first thing I'd tell them, if you're going to lie to me, I'm not going to talk to you. You have to know that anybody you're talking to in any situation or any dealings at all, you know how you feel when you're lied to. And it's just, he's telling here, you don't lie to your neighbor. Don't lie to one another. It's not going to accomplish any good, first of all. And we know in today's world, recently in the past several months, all kind of people were getting caught in lies. such, but in verse 9, lie not one to another. Why? Because you put off that old man. And there's no difference whether it's lying, whether it's fornication, whether it's whatever one of these that we talked about in verses 5 and verse 8. Sin is sin. And when you're doing that, you're not looking above and seeking those things which are above. So, if we don't lie to one another, if we don't commit these sins, what's the alternative? Okay, well, it means you understand the will of God and what He should be doing and directing your life. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians. This is a little lengthier reading. 1 Thessalonians 5. And I'll leave you with this. Verses 1 through 10. And this kind of sums up my lesson. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write to you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety. You know how many times people say that today? Ah, everything's great. The world is good. I'm living a great life. So when they shall say, peace and safety, then suddenly destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are children of light, and the children of the day, we are not of the night or of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And for a helmet, what? The hope of salvation. And where do you get that? You seek it above. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, taking in consideration those two verses we talked about with all the sin. He's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And how are you going to do that? By seeking those things above and not having all those things a part of your life. Why? Because He died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Are we together with Him? What are we seeking? Are we looking above? Or are we just living our lives on a daily basis saying, okay, well, today's today and tomorrow's tomorrow? We have to seek those things above, and seeking those things above is where Christ is. If you're subject to the gospel in any way, I ask you to come.